You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
The Energy Justice Network calls itself the Grassroots Energy Agenda, supporting communities threatened by polluting energy and waste technologies. They take an environmental justice approach, working with grassroots groups to support them in their struggles against energy pollution and environmental damage in their communities. Energy Justice is the first national organization in the United States to advocate a complete phase out of nuclear power, fossil fuels, large hydroelectric dams, and biomass/incineration within the next 20 years. This morning, we're joined from Washington, D.C. by Mike Ewall, who is director of the Energy Justice Network. Hello, Mike.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
And thanks for joining us. Now, some of us are familiar with the term environmental justice. What does a focus on energy justice mean?
Okay, well, basically, environmental justice as a response to the phenomenon of environmental racism and the dumping of toxic industries in poor and minority communities, energy justice basically is just that, the idea of combating that, but applied to the energy sector. So we've been having a very broad definition of what that means and helping folks that work against energy and waste type of facilities, since a lot of the issues are very connected.
Well, can you give us an example of what does that mean when you apply this to the energy sector?
Well, we take a not in anyone's backyard position. We don't believe in solving discrimination, whether it's based on class or race, where a community gets targeted by just spreading things around better and pretending that solves the problem. So we're not in my backyard type of group, but we work with a lot of local groups that might start off that way, and bring them to a not-in-anyone's-backyard type of mentality where they're helping each other stop inappropriate technologies everywhere, whether it be an incinerator, landfill, power plant, you name it.
Okay, you have a pretty ambitious agenda, a complete phase-out of nuclear power, fossil fuels, and so forth, by 2030. Is that a realistic target?
Well, it's technically possible. Realistically, it's not realistic only in a political sense. It's economically possible. It's possible in terms of the resources that we have. It's actually something that would produce a hell of a lot of jobs, more so than the things that we're currently using for energy. But right now, we have political systems, especially in the U.S., that are just totally within the grip of the corporations involved in these sectors. So that is the main reason that's not realistic in that sense.
Can you elaborate a little on what you mean by create a lot of hell of a lot of jobs?
Well, if you look at any of the types of facilities that are the predominant ones managing waste or generating energy, whether they be landfills or incinerators or coal power plants or nuclear reactors even, the amount of jobs that they produce per amount of energy that they make or per amount of waste that they handle is much, much smaller per dollar invested or per any other way you measure it, like per amount of energy that it would produce, if you compare it to the green alternatives. And so if you look, compare it to what it would take to get everyone installing conservation efficiency measures in everyone's home, to weatherize homes and screw in the fluorescent light bulbs and or LED bulbs, or even better, and to have wind and solar meeting most of our energy needs, that is a lot more job intensive and a lot more economically viable than to do what we've been doing.
Okay, I just want to turn for a moment to some of the particular projects that your group is involved in. I understand that you are mapping all of the dirty energy and waste facilities in the United States. Can you tell me a little about that project?
Sure. We've taken on a very ambitious mapping project that you can find on our energyjustice.net/map site. And we're basically mapping all of the existing, proposed, closed, and defeated dirty energy and waste facilities of all sorts that we can, as well as the corporations behind them, and tracking the people and groups that are fighting them. And this is basically, we're trying to turn it into a Facebook type of social networking tool for folks that are in local communities where they care about something that might be polluting them currently or that is proposed, and want to connect with other folks who are doing the same. And while it's focused on the U.S. right now, we've built it to be international and have some international data, and we welcome folks from Canada or elsewhere to use the study and plug in information and connect with people.
So the focus is networking and building organizing?
Yeah, that's what we've designed it for. We have just launched it not long ago, and so we have some learning curves and a lot of people that we would like to recruit to it, so you won't find a ton of people right away. But getting in touch with us, there are other ways through email discussion lists and folks that we can put anyone in touch with that if you have listeners who are concerned about something and want to get connected with others who are working on the same issues, they should get in touch and we can help plug them in.
What are some of the other resources that your Energy Justice Network offers activists and groups who want to work on local issues?
Well, we often end up spending time on the phone just explaining to new activists how to organize a group, how to organize effectively and stop polluters at the local level where it's most effective, where people power is the strongest. We will help get people contact in other communities where they fought the same companies or technologies. So they can relate some of those experiences. We'll plug them into email discussion lists. We have fact sheets and other research materials that we can supply. So there are a lot of resources that we're able to give, even though we don't have like a huge budget or tons of staff to be doing that with.
And what kind of responses have you gotten from people?
We have a really good reputation among those who are the grassroots activists that we serve. They really look to us for information and appreciate what we do for them. It depends on what other people you ask, though. Of course, the corporate polluters aren't very happy with us. And the big environmental groups that sometimes take positions that some of these dirty technologies are actually clean, they don't like us for calling them out on that sometimes. Like those who think that coal can be clean or biomass is appropriate will make it evident that's not.
So you've had some tensions with some of the bigger, more mainstream environmental groups?
Yeah, that's pretty typical in the movement. There's often a split between the folks in the community level, the grassroots groups that might have a smokestack-type facility coming to them, whether it's to burn trees, which is a big thing being pushed right now in British Columbia, or to burn trash, which is also a big controversy in the Vancouver area. And you have some bigger environmental groups who still cling to this idea that it's renewable energy or that it's green, and sometimes they'll promote that, not usually about trash, but when it comes to tree burning, they still think that's appropriate. And the tide is shifting on that. There's more science coming out showing that it's actually worse than coal in terms of global warming, and that there are a lot of other pollution hazards with it, a lot of physicians coming out against it. But it takes a while for some of the groups that have been promoting it for many years to really save face and turn around and realize that they were wrong.
I just want to return for a second to something that you said about the NIMBY groups. You're trying to turn the NIMBY groups to a not in anyone's backyard analysis. Have you seen that work on the ground?
Oh, absolutely. A lot of groups, when they start into the issue, especially when we plug them in with other communities that have been through it before and that are helping them now, they realize that these other communities are places where they have friends and that they don't want to just push it out of their community into someone else's community. They quickly come around and tend to realize that this is not appropriate anywhere and that they don't want to just push it somewhere else.
Okay, one of the interesting things about the fight for energy justice is that in the last four decades is that there actually have been many grassroots victories. Is that something we can take inspiration and learn from?
Oh, absolutely. If you go back starting, my knowledge of the history of this starts around the 70s when there were many proposals from nuclear power plants, and then since then there have been waves of development with trash incinerators and coal plants and natural gas plants and a bunch of different polluting industries, and about 60 to 90% of each of those have been crushed. Of the proposals for these have been crushed one community at a time by good grassroots organizing. So it's not like fighting these just shifts them from one place to another, but we're reshaping whole industries and making the good solutions more possible by stopping the dirty versions.
And what are you looking to, what are you hoping to achieve in the future?
Well, we hope to see an end to all these new proposals for incinerators, for biomass incinerators in particular, for nuclear reactors, which are trying to come back. And we've already been doing a great job in stopping the new rush of coal plants in recent years in the U.S. that have been proposed. and just a number of dirty things that keep coming out and reinventing themselves as if they're green. We've been unmasking those and stopping them. And in the meantime, seeing the economic space open up for more wind power, solar power, conservation, and efficiency starting to take more root because we've made sure that there isn't a lot of energy being produced by these dirty forms that they have to compete with.
Well, thanks very much, Mike, for speaking with us today and bringing our attention to this wonderful new resource that you've designed.
All right. Thank you, and thanks for having me.
I've been speaking with Mike Ewall, who is director of the Energy Justice Network. Their website, where you can find many of the resources we've been discussing, is energyjustice.org.